been talking a lot lately about the Word becoming flesh and what union means. So we're going to review a little bit more of that today. For most, it takes a very long time so that the redeemed self, the saved from world self, the born again self, but they still consider themselves self, an independent self. And so it takes a long time for that mystery of the union, instead of less than union, to be manifest. For most, it takes total brokenness, total failure in everything, until you finally find out that we apprehend that which we have been apprehended by.
Makes me think of the we decrease, he increases.
And right.
At some point you see that and you go, oh crap.
Well, that's symbolically, that's why the real heavy teaching from Christ didn't happen until it cut off John the Baptist's head. And so, because, and that's, we have to have our head cut off, because we're still, just as the ancient Babylonians and many other cultures carried their idols, you know, on their shoulders, with two guys carrying these idols through, or maybe more than two. And the idol, that's what we do. We're still carrying our idols on our shoulders. We have still the graven images, which are carved in the walls of our mind. And the molten images, which we really didn't have any part in, because it normally happened when we were very little, small children. And these golden images are how we respond to certain things, when that just we just lose it. We've seen that lately in an individual, but I won't mention his name. But anyway, we knew reconciliation. Now we must know union, for it's only in union that the Word is made flesh. Does that make sense?
Is that the exchange you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, you're no longer in the picture. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Of mine own self I can do nothing. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Paul finally wrote, I live, yet not I that lives, but Christ. And there's a total and complete understanding of what your death means. Because, remember this, let's go look at this evil one a minute again. We haven't looked at him for a while.
One question. If we've been apprehended, and now we're trying to apprehend what we've been apprehended by, our apprehension is complete, but our understanding of it is incremental, would you say?
No, it's not complete unless you understand it. It's not complete, because otherwise you'll still respond to stimuli in the old way. You'll still be a saved self, a born again self, but self is always there.
But that would be an incorrect apprehension of that which we've been apprehending.
Right, but it has to be, the apprehension has to be conscious. It's not an unconscious apprehension. It's not an apprehension because the scriptures say it's apprehension. It's apprehension when the word has become flesh in you. And you know it. So there's no, and the only way you can know that is that you no longer live like a Gentile. The world's been crucified unto you, and you've been crucified unto the world. You no more give any breath to any of your past, any past understanding, any past rules of behavior. It's a totally different thing. Let's go, but let's look and see again at this guy. Go to Revelation 13. Now I just took myself off track again, so we'll probably spend several days instead of finishing like I thought we were going to do. I guess I just told him myself, huh?
You're a mess.
So much for plans.
Valve.
All right, Revelation 13. Everybody there? Everybody there that's going there? And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And this is the same beast that we saw in Revelation 17. It's the same beast that Daniel saw. The same beast that you have to see. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So we've gone through each of those to show the type of man. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly head wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Again, the only thing that all the world wonders after is themselves. All the world wandered after the beast, and some of us here are still wandering after the beast. And we're not going to read all of that, but let's just go to the next section in verse 11. Everybody there at verse 11? And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And it didn't come out of the sea this time, it came out of the earthen vessel. And he had two horns, like a lamb. He'd been converted. He's now a Christian beast. He's like the lamb, tries to be. But he still spoke as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly head wound was healed. And so that's what happens. We become believers. We claim we're Christians, but we're still speaking with the voice of a dragon. Anybody understand that?
Can you repeat what you just said?
The beast, now he's on the land, and John saw the same beast, but now he's rising out of the earth. and he has two horns like a little lamb. And that means he's become a Christian. He's become a believer. But he's still speaking with the voice of the dragon. Except now he's made it religious talk. He's still a friend of the world. He still gives breath to things that are in the world. He's more than likely involved in politics. He still has the value system of the Christian world. But they still speak with the voice of the dragon. Everybody understand that?
What's the voice of the dragon?
The evil one.
I know that, but...
Well, it's the dragon that's revealed in all of the signs of the zodiac.
The voice has to be his words, the things he talks about.
The things he gives importance to.
Yeah, the voice.
And so the same, as they said, the same... If you have the same value systems you did as a non-believer, you're still speaking with the voice of a dragon. You're still thinking with the thoughts of a dragon. But now you put Christ's name on it.
So there's no apprehension in that position.
Right, it's just, you're just a believer in name only. There's no difference between you and all the rest of the Gentiles, except you put God's name on stuff now. So, now let's go back and look at Paul, what Paul said here. And Romans. I think. Yeah, Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or it's the highest that reason can take you. And be not conformed to this world. There's no part of you that's still conformed to this world. But you're transformed, or the word is transfigured, by the renewing of your mind. And the renewing of your mind comes when you have the mind of Christ, when it's total emptiness and you live by faith alone. Then let's go to Galatians. Chapter 2. Verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Works of any law. He's not justified by anything. But by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, which is the start of the process, the start of the mystery. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ. And not by the works of the law. But by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So we start off believing in him, But then we have to come to the place where we live by the faith of him. It's not our faith in him any longer. We live by the faith of him. In 17, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. And listen carefully to this. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And what was destroyed, supposedly, as a believer, is you, your death. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now the I after, this is an incredible statement. Which I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Then yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And so now the next I is transformed identities. I now live in the life which I now live. It's, you're no longer you, you're Christ that's living in you. I live in the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And that's union. But what we do is we say, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And that when this, we still put our own name, our identity on the faith which I now live. You're dead. You're gone. You can no longer put I in the picture. Amen. You're gone. So you can never again use the tools that you used as a believer, as just a believer. I believe in Jesus Christ, and so that now I believe I'm saved, and when I die I'm going to heaven or something. It's not Christ dying for you, not Christ near you, not Christ separate from you, but Christ living his life as Christ in Paul's form, in your form now. There's no more you. The evil one is gone. It must be this mystery. It must be an inner reality, not something that you say the scriptures say we are, but it's the inner reality. Fully comprehended. There's only one you. And it's no longer you after the flesh. Finally, now, you have union. And you never question it again. I live by the faith of it. No longer my faith. I don't have any faith. Let's go to Ephesians 3. We're starting with, this is that great prayer. The second, there's two great prayers in Ephesians. One is in chapter 1, 15 through 23, and the next one is chapter 3, 14 through 21. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, O Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts and your inner man by faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's everything. That's union. That's the Word being made flesh. There's no more separation. There's no more concern with your life in any way. This is what it means to be, to the Word be made, be being made flesh in you. But all the other value systems that you've learned, or that you've been taught by your parents, where you weren't really taught, you just accepted them, but and they're all just crap. There isn't any good part of it. But as long as you're in Babylon, you may have been saved from the world, but you got to get the hell out of Babylon. And remember, it was only the poor, only the frustrated, only the that came out of Babylon. There wasn't like, you know, the 3 million humongous number of people that came out of Egypt. Only a very few came out of Babylon. And Babylon is the most subtle of all of the things to come out of. So this is a part of what union means. No longer I ought to, I should. You're Christ in Lisa form and Joysanna form, just as it was in Paul form. But it's him living in you, not him and you. He can't occupy where you are because of his humility. So you can say all kinds of stuff, but it doesn't mean anything because you're not living it. Anybody have any response? That's what it means to be no longer a debtor to the flesh. In any case, in every case, all I do is transfer my consciousness of a stress or a problem to the consciousness of who I really am, Christ in me. Then light swallows up darkness. And then Christ is magnified in me. Christ is all in all, not I becoming or not I anyway, but I containing. Then, when there is this consciousness, when there is this reality, when you're truly living by the faith of Christ, it's a totally different universe. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody understand perfectly. We shall see. Nobody has any response.
I was kind of type closes the loop. We've been talking a long time about us, Christ in us, and then us in Christ. This closes the loop on us in Christ.
Well, this is the only way that you can continue with him and his test. Otherwise, you're just dealing with your test, the tests of somebody that should be already dead. You don't have any tests. You're dead. We're going to talk a little bit more about this tomorrow, but please, please, please pray that you would be apprehended by this totality of the mystery. Amen. Take it, big guy.